sing with me.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the
centrality of evangelism. Jesus. Take your Bibles and open to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, we'll begin reading verse number 11. Continue standing for the reading of God's word. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with your spirit. Amen. You may be seated. The centrality of evangelism. We talk about reaching the community. We talk about doing things in the community. We talk about having different events. We have a fall festival this evening. If you haven't made your plans to come, you need to make your plans to come. There's going to be some good barbecue. There's going to be a lot of fun. Let me just tell you, all of that is for nothing if we forget what the centrality of evangelism is about. Why do we have a fall festival? Why do we do the things that we do? It's because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And in particular, the difference that the cross of Jesus Christ has made in our life. If we have a fall festival and we don't think about the cross and remember that the reason we do what we do is because of the centrality of the cross of Jesus Christ, it's all for naught. It will amount to nothing. It's just going to be a lot of fun. Nothing wrong with having fun. I will tell you, people talk about what they have to go out and do in order to have fun. And what they have to drink or what they have to do over here, whether, you know, just to have fun. Let me tell you something. There's not any more fun than knowing Jesus. Getting around with some brothers in Christ and just having a good time and giving each other a hard time, loving one another in Jesus. But yet, there's nothing more fun than to be around God's people and having a good time. But we can never forget the reason why we can have such a good time. It's the centrality of evangelism. It's the centrality of the cross. You see, if we forget that, it would be like going through to an NBA basketball game. In the NBA basketball, when you hear the NBA, what do you think? What immediately think? What do you think? What's professional basketball? But let me tell you, what would it be like if they had all the coaches, they had all the players, they had the nice gym, they had the floor wax, and it's beautiful wood floor, and they have all the markings out there for the game. They have the referees there on the side. They have the announcers. They have the big scoreboard. They have all the flashing lights. They have the cheerleaders. They have the band. They have all of these things, but they never one time stepped out on the court. What it would be? What would it be like? We'd say they had lost their ever-loving mind. You'd go to the ticket booth, and you say, I want my money back. They forgot what the centrality of the basketball game was. It wasn't the coaches, it wasn't the players, it wasn't the cheerleaders, it wasn't the band, it wasn't that scoreboard, it wasn't all of the advertisement, it wasn't the food that's not really good for you and unhealthy. It's not all of that. It's about the game. You want to see those giants of men go out there and bounce around this little round ball, run up and down the court, block one another, elbow one another, and you want to see them put the ball in the hoop, don't you? That's the name of the game. But when we as Christians, oftentimes, we come to church, we have the nice buildings, we have all of the Sunday school classes, we have good Bible teaching, we have occasionally a good sermon or two here along the road, we have good singing, we have all of these things, but if we forget what the name of the game is, it's for naught. Paul here, he's writing to the Galatians. And there were some that were compelling the Judaizers and those that were compelling those who had come to faith in Christ, compelling them to be circumcised. Circumcision was a covenant with God. It was a symbol of having a covenant with God. But there's a new circumcision that takes place in the life of the believer. It's a circumcision of the heart. It's a doing away of the flesh of the heart. And they were trying to convince some. And Paul tells in particular, he's telling them, the reason they want you to do this is because they're trying to avoid persecution for the cross of Jesus Christ. That was their whole motivation. Let me tell you, you know, sometimes we as Christians, we operate the same way as these guys were doing. We don't share the cross of Christ because we're afraid somebody might say something about us. Think about that. We don't share, we forget about what this advance and what this is all about, and we don't share about the cross because we're afraid in some small way we might be persecuted. I would say we can make an argument that these guys were compelling these other folks to be circumcised because of fear. What were they afraid of? They were afraid of being persecuted for the cross of Christ. And sometimes we don't engage in evangelism and witnessing and telling the good news of Jesus because of what? I would say this is probably the number one reason people give. Fear. Now, I don't know when the last time I had gone out and knocked on a door and witnessed to somebody and talked to them about Jesus that I was going to get thrown in jail for it. Matter of fact, I don't think it's ever happened. These guys that were trying to compel these others to be circumcised because of fear of persecution, it was a legitimate fear. Now, they were wrong, because Paul clears it up. You see, Paul understood this whole, this symbol of circumcision and all this. Paul writes about himself in Philippians chapter 3, and he says, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He says, if anyone can boast in the flesh, I can. And then he goes on and says, and the more. But what took place in Paul's life was the cross. That's why Paul, when he writes here, he says, God forbid that I should boast in anything save the cross of Jesus Christ. He's trying to make a point because these guys, that were not only were they trying to avoid persecution for the cross, but they also wanted to boast about those they had converted to Judaism or back to Judaism or had got them circumcised. And Paul says, ultimately he says, circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Why? Because Paul says it's all about the cross. Let me give you two things this morning. First of all, the cross is central in its uniqueness. The cross is central in its uniqueness. We talked about in the Bible study hour this morning the uniqueness of evangelism. The uniqueness of evangelism. And when we think about our message, when we think about evangelism and what evangelism should be defined as in our life, as a body of believers, as First Baptist Church, as followers of Christ individually, what it should be defined as, it's a very unique thing. Unique in that it's one of a kind. Unique in so much that there's no other way, there's nothing else that can obtain and do what the uniqueness of this evangelism we're talking about does. Why is that? It's because of what is the central theme of our evangelism. What is the central theme of what we talk about? What is that central theme? It's the cross of Jesus Christ. First of all, it's unique in its person. Remember that. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, verse 14, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Luke writes in Acts chapter 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. The cross, our evangelism, the centrality of our evangelism, it's unique in its person because we're not saying it's just the cross or a cross. It's a specific cross of a specific person. And the person was the very Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. We talked about a couple of weeks ago where Paul said, I am debtor. He understood the uniqueness of what had taken place in his life. He understood that the person of Jesus Christ radically transformed his life. Saul of Tarsus, now the Apostle Paul. It's central in its uniqueness. It's unique in its person. We talked about the message that Paul said, if any man preach another gospel, let him be accursed. Let him be cut off, because what he's saying is there is no other gospel. Don't buy into the culture. Don't buy into what this world says, that there's many ways to heaven. There is not. There is one way. And it's in a unique person. It's in Jesus Christ. We think about the centrality of this gospel. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at me in verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. He didn't say through the Baptist church. He didn't say through religious rituals. He didn't say doing good to your fellow man. He didn't say through living a good life. He has reconciled us. He has made us right with God. He's redeemed him back to himself through Jesus Christ. The centrality is it's unique in its person. And my friend, listen to me. Don't let anybody tell you or try to convince you that there's any other way. Because if there was, God would have provided. If there was any other way, God did an injustice to his only begotten Son. And God can't do injustice. It goes contrary to his character and his nature. And God provided a way whereby sinful men and women and teenagers, we know you are sinful, right? Just check and see if you're paying attention. Sinful people, humanity could be made right with God, could be reconciled back to God through Jesus Christ. He continues on, verse 18, through Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses, not imputing their sins, not laying to their account their sin, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In who? In this unique person, Jesus Christ. It's unique in its person. It's unique in its power. There's nothing in this world that transforms lives like the cross of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Paul, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he declares that. It is the power of God unto salvation. The verse that we just quoted to is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Him who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. He took on our sin. He wasn't sinful. So he had to be made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is the power of the cross. It's unique in its purpose. Look at verse 15 of our text. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Here it is, but a new creation. A new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things are new. The purpose of the cross in reconciling the world and the forgiveness of sin, a message of hope that Jesus Christ loved the world, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that when we believe in him, we trust in him, by faith we receive him as our personal Lord and Savior, we have everlasting life, we are transformed, we have been made new, we've been reconciled to God, we have been justified, we are being sanctified. Why? Because of the purpose of the cross was to bring sinful humanity that was separated from God to be reconciled to God as a new creation. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because that includes everyone in this room this morning if you place your faith and trust in Jesus and what he did. It's central in its uniqueness. It's central in its urgency. It's central in its urgency. Think about this with me. Too often times, I think we as Christians, we approach the Christian life and evangelism as we do most other things in life. Oh, I'll get to it later. I have a tendency occasionally, once in a great while, to procrastinate. I guess I couldn't stay with it because that's really true. Let me tell you something about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't procrastinate. We can't say, oh, I'll get to it later. Oh, I'll tell someone, I've got all this to get together, and somewhere down the road, I'll get to it. In John chapter 4, you have the story of the woman at the well. And as she leaves her pot, she goes to the city. It says, in the meantime. So while she had left her pot, she'd gone to the city. We know the story. We talked about it just a couple of weeks ago. That in the meantime, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Master, have you eaten? To eat some meat. Jesus says, I have meat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of the Father. And he says, look out on the fields. They're ready for harvest. He goes on and explains there's some that sow, some that water, but they all work together. Why? So that the gospel, the purpose of the cross, the message of the cross, the person of the cross, would be perpetuated, would go forth, and the kingdom of God would grow, and the family of God would grow. There's an urgency. One of my favorite things in watching a football game is when the two teams, I don't like watching blowouts, unless it's my team. But I really don't care a whole lot for blowouts. It's kind of like with NASCAR. I like NASCAR, the last five laps. Because the previous 430, kind of like the last five, they just driving fast, turning left, right? But those last few minutes, if it's a close race, or in the last 2 minutes of the football game, and they go in the hurry-up offense, they're down by a score, they have the ball on their own 10-yard line, and Dak Prescott's your quarterback. Or Aaron Rodgers. It's a good one. He's okay. But you want them to execute those plays. You want that team. And I don't know about you. I have to be careful. Internally, I feel myself getting uptight and getting anxious about in these last... I'm sitting in my living room. This is crazy. But there's this desire, this urgency. Come on, get the ball down the field. Throw it to the sideline. Stop the clock. You're out of timeouts. Watch the clock. Come on, get it down the field. You got to score. You got to score. You got to win the game. When Jimmy Johnson is driving around that NASCAR lap in the last five laps and he's in second place and you see him trying to move around and it gets exciting to watch him try to maneuver. There's a sense of urgency. He's trying to get around that car. Why? He wants to make it to the finish line and win the race. Oh, that we would have that sense of urgency about sharing the good news of the cross. A couple things I can tell you. Number one, Jesus is coming again. And if Jesus tarries his coming, There's an appointment out there that we all must keep. It's called death. It's no respect of persons. The Bible talks much about it. As is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. There's an urgency. Here's what Jesus said in John 4. He said, there's an observation. He said, look. Look around. The fields are ready for harvest. Let me tell you something. Each and every day that we're out living this life, there are opportunities to share the gospel. We just need to seize those opportunities and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there's the observation. There's the opportunity. What did Paul write in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18b? He said, through the cross, the world is crucified to me and I to the world. Now he's talking about a couple of different things here. First of all, he's saying what he writes in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, meaning there was an old life that he lived. Now there's a now life that he lives. Why? Because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And he said, the world is crucified to me and I to the world. And he talks about being a debtor, to share the gospel, to tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to understand there's an opportunity for each and every one of us to see a new creation take place because of the cross of Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, our time is gone this morning.